disciples. I finally feel the release. This is something that I felt like I needed to minister from the very start of this revival, but I just was not getting that release of where it was the timing yet or the time to deliver it. But I feel that release tonight to deliver what I feel like God has put on my heart a couple weeks ago for this meeting. And I was praying. I remember being at the church, the home church. I was praying. I was walking back and forth. And all of a sudden, Brother Kyle, I felt like the Lord spoke to me. And he said, don't get content to stop at the door. And I started pondering on that. I don't know if anybody else does this when the Lord speaks to you something. But I'm the type of person that I ask questions. Lord, what is the significance of what you mean by that? What do you mean, don't stop at the door? And the Lord began to further inspire in my heart that many times we, if we're not careful, God is beginning a work. And God's beginning something. And I feel like this weekend, we started off Friday night talking about we have the power because He has the power. Yeah. And you know, that's so true, church. We do have the power. We're not powerless tonight. We're not weak tonight. We're not forsaken. We're not forgotten. You know, it's easy sometimes as family. It's easy as members of the church to get bombarded by trials and troubles. And sometimes the enemy would like to say, God has forgotten you. But I want to assure you tonight, He has not forgotten you. He knows where you're at. And He has a desire not just to get you somewhere, but He has a work that He wants to perfect.
Yeah.
So I prayed and I said, Lord, I don't want to stop at the door either. And how many knows? I'm not asking for anybody to tell on yourselves. I'm not asking for anybody. I just want you to ponder this and think about it. But how many times has the Lord started something and you knew the Lord was beginning something in your life, but somewhere along the way you got content and you didn't finish what God started? Yeah. I believe we can all at one time say, I've been there. I've been there, Sister Brooke, where I was so close. And I knew God was doing something in my life. And it was so good. But I got content somewhere. And the work wasn't able to be finished. But God started encouraging me. He said, son, just because you didn't get to where you needed to then, you can do it today.
Yeah.
So for a little while today, I just want to preach on, let's finish, church. Let's finish. Let's not stop at the halfway point. Let's not stop at the checkpoint, but let's finish what we started. Let's finish what we started. If you turn with me tonight, Hebrews 12, that's where we want to begin here. Hebrews 12, and I know we're all tired here tonight, no doubt. I know we're tired in body, but I ask you, just get in here and help us tonight, and let's see what God will do. But Hebrews 12, verse 1 is where we'll start for our scripture reading here. And it just simply says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Verse 2 says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of God, at the right hand of the throne of God. I want us to notice in verse 1, there's three different things that we find here in verse 1. And we see in the first part of that verse, it said that we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. How many knows that you've got some loved ones, some friends? I'm sure we can think of some preachers that are standing in that cloud of witnesses. Yeah. What are those witnesses a representation of? What are they doing up there? I believe they're encouraging the saints to keep on.
Yeah, yeah.
How do you know that? They spent their whole time on earth doing it. What are we doing right now? Why are we gathering in church right now? Because we're trying to encourage one another that this is not our home. This is not the finished work. This is not the final place. But we've got a home up in heaven that's awaiting on us. There's a prize with our name on it. There's a prize that Jesus said, let us run. Let us run that race.
Amen.
How many, me and my wife, how many passes people when you see them? I don't know if we got any joggers here today. A lot of times when I see joggers, and maybe I just need to get behind some of them and maybe get them to help me run. Many times I'll look at my wife and I'll say, more power to them. I mean, there are some runners that are faithful. I don't care what the temperature is.
Yeah.
I've seen people in the middle of a blizzard, and they're just, even that right there wore me out. I'm like, have at it. Run a couple miles for me. Run a little more for me. But I'm telling you, there are some joggers that are faithful.
Yeah.
I've seen them in the rain running. I've seen them in the wind. When the wind, I'm like, this ain't no time to be outside, and they're running. I've seen runners in the middle of sleet running. I've seen people in the middle of thunderstorms running. And I'm sitting there, but all the while that I watch them run, it's as if the Lord began to tell me, son, that's the way the church is going to have to get in this race. If we're going to finish what we started, we're going to have to get such a determination that no matter the storm, no matter the hill, no matter the valley, no matter the fire, we've got to run.
Yeah.
We can't stop. We can't stop what's begun in our lives. So many times in this race, I have learned, as I used to youth pastor some kids, I really said to the Lord, I was trying to put it in a place that kids could understand this. I said, Lord, you said to lay aside every weight and the sin. And how many knows we've all had those kids? We've all had those kids that they'll argue sometimes things they're doing, and they'll say, well, it ain't a sin.
Yeah.
Well, it ain't really in the Word. And one day the Lord gave me a revelation. I said, Lord, what a revelation that was. I said, I see why you say, let us lay aside every weight and sin. I brought some luggage in and some suitcases in. And I had my cousin come up, and I said, hey, I said, go ahead and run a lap for me around the church. And he ran that lap, no problem. He ran so good. I said, you did so good. I said, grab one of them bags and do another lap for me. Buddy, he took off running around, and he was doing good, but it was a little slower that time. I said, grab another one of them bags, do another lap for me. And he ran. But this time, it was about halfway to a walk. He wasn't running now. He was walking. And all of a sudden, I gave him to where not only did he have weights, but I tried to hand him the Bible. And he couldn't even grab the Bible for the weights that he was trying to run for Jesus. You're going to have to get to where nothing holds you back.
Amen.
Amen.
You can't afford to compromise. You can't afford to turn back. There was places in the Bible. There was men. Paul said, Demas have forsaken me. You know what that lets me know? There'd be a lot of us that no matter how hard we tried, we wouldn't qualify in the 40-yard dash. we wouldn't make it. If it was just for the swift and the fast, there'd be a lot of people saying, God, I just can't keep up with them. But you know what the Bible said? He said it's to those that will endure. I'm going to tell you what, some of us got more endurance than we realize. You know why we can endure? Because Jesus endured the cross. You know why we can overcome?
Yeah,
because Jesus overcame the world.
Amen.
We can finish. We can finish. You say, I don't know if I can make it. It's getting so heavy out there. It's getting so dark out there. I want to tell somebody tonight, the darker the night, the brighter he shines. I said, the darker the night, the brighter he shines.
Yes, hallelujah.
Come on now. I said, you can make it. I said, we don't have time to get on the sideline. Just run.
Yeah.
Just run.
Yeah.
Run for Jesus. You know what? There's a lot of people that are going to wait till it's too late. There's going to be a lot of people, they didn't endure. There's going to be a lot of people, they got comfortable. There's going to be people that they looked at us. There's people tonight, they might be looking at this church saying, what are they doing on a Sunday night? You say, that don't happen, does it? Oh, yes, it does.
Yeah.
You don't know how many times I've had people say, just relax, buddy. You're going to kill yourself. I've preached. I'm not used to. This is the fourth time I've preached. I ain't preached this many times in a long time. And my voice is trying to catch up with it all. But I'm telling you, I've had people listen to me preach. And they say, just relax. You need to just calm down a notch. You know what? I'm doing this not for you. I'm doing this because I've got a race that I've got to finish. I want my babies to know there's an importance to keep going on for Jesus.
Oh, come on. Yeah.
I'm telling you, too often we're worried about what our neighbors think. Too often we're worried about what our boss thinks. Too often we're worried about what the world thinks. But I'm here to tell you, I'm more worried about what Jesus thinks. When he looks at me, does he find me running? Does he find me fighting?
Yeah.
Yes.
It is a war. It is a war.
Yes, it is.
It's not easy. You know, the devil's a cheater. It ain't right. But while we're trying to run, he's throwing out snares. While we're trying to run, he's throwing out detour signs. How many knows the Bible said there's a way that seemeth right? And so many people are looking for the easy way. So many, that Pilgrim's Progress. Mm-hmm. I just read that. Mm-hmm. I got to go see a play on that. It was so neat, Brother Eastman, because it showed times in his life where the devil pointed out the easy way, where the grass was green, and said, take this. And he said, that's got to be God. But all the while in that play, God was standing behind him going, no, don't go there. Don't go that way. But Pilgrim's Progress, he took the easy way. And before it was over, he found himself in a mess.
Yeah.
Can I tell somebody, don't take the easy way. Keep climbing the hill.
Hallelujah.
Oh, I'm telling you, I feel a burden. I wish I could get this out like I need to. But I feel like on this last night, if I could charge somebody here tonight, just finish. Mm. Just finish.
Right.
99 and a half. How many has ever heard that said? 99 and a half. Won't do. You gotta go all the way. I'm telling you what, I feel like the Lord began to stir my soul. He said, son, you're 34 years old. You've come too far to turn back now. I want to tell somebody, you've come too far to turn away from Jesus. Just run. Just finish. Just look to God.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, there's an urgency in my soul. Somebody needs to finish the race. Somebody needs to finish the journey. Somebody needs to finish what you started. You know why we sometimes get the easy way? You know why sometimes we quit running? I used to play basketball. I hated suicide sprints. My coach one day went berserk on us. He said, "You're lazy." He said, "You're lazy." I was thinking in my mind, I'm barely surviving. I'm barely making it. But he threw out a challenge. He said, "If you'll run, I've got something waiting at the end." Well, I was thirsty, and I knew if it was money, I could get a drink. I hit that suicide sprint like I never hit. I was running. And I'm telling you, there were some fast guys on my team. And when I got to the last part of that run, I slid my way. I probably slid 4 feet on that gym floor, but I grabbed that dollar. And you know, it was a setup. I thought, boy, I did a good thing. Then my coach went off on me again. And he said, "Why did you run that hard for a dollar?" I was like, "Man, I can't win for losing." You know what? Sometimes we put effort into things that don't matter to the kingdom of God. We'll put time, we'll put effort, and God's watching us going, "You put so much time in that, you put so much effort in that, but when it comes to the things that matter most, you act as if it don't matter." Church, we're in a war. We're in a war. The devil's playing for keeps.
Yeah.
The devil's playing for keeps. My wife and I don't know how many in here like Mexican food. I love it.
Yeah.
One of my favorites. We had one being built, worked on, and I could not wait for the opening. And that's where God really started talking to me. He said, "Son, look at that anticipation you had for that restaurant. When you knew it was coming, you were counting the days down." He said, "If my people would get that way about me, that they're counting down the days." Oh, I pray this revival. I pray that somebody could not wait for revival to get here. You know what? That's the way we need to get in the presence of the Lord. Church can't get here fast enough. Prayer meeting can't get here fast enough. We need to get an urgency. We need to get an urgency about our souls. I can assure you, the devil is not tired tonight. I can assure you that. I get tired. I get fatigued. But you know what? I ain't never had the devil give me mercy, Brother Tom, just because I said I'm tired. He still gets in my ear and says, oh, can't handle it. Can't handle it. I ain't never had the devil say, "Poor Brother Brandon, he's just really tired. I'm going to give him a break." No, he throws more on my plate.
Yeah.
You know what? Don't expect any sympathy from the devil, because he's a liar. And if he tells you he's for you, he's lying.
Yeah.
If he tells you he's got something good for you, he's lying.
Yeah.
He's lying.
That's right.
I'm going to tell you what. When that Mexican restaurant opened, I can tell you what I did. I got in my car. I drove 30 minutes to get there. You know what I did? I didn't get to the door of that restaurant and go, "Made it to the door. Let's go home." Could you imagine being that way? I made it to the door. Can't go any further. My family would have looked at me and said, "We drove 30 minutes to touch the door." That's what God impressed my heart. He said, "Son, you ain't ran this far just to touch the door.
Yeah,
you ain't ran this far just to get to the gates. But finish."
Yeah, come on.
Finish. I'm telling you, how many trust that God's got a prize waiting for you? I believe it. If it were not so, he wouldn't have told us. Some of you might say, "All I've had is a shack all my life." I'm telling you what, you're going to trade your shack for a mansion.
Yeah.
I'm telling you what, some of you might say, "Where I live, I've never really liked the subdivision I've been in." But I'm telling you, hang on a while. There's streets of gold road. There's streams that we can get to where the water is crystal clear. I'm telling you, just finish.
Yeah.
Oh, just finish. Just finish.
Oh, Jesus.
There was one person set out to do something. She set out to swim a great distance. I forget just how far it was. And she was swimming. And it was, I'm telling you, it was an extreme swim. It wasn't just your typical, I wish I could remember the distance. But I don't even know how she had the strength to swim as far as she swam. But the problem was the fog started getting bad and she couldn't see any further. And so somewhere along that swim, she got tired and she had to call it quits. And when the fog cleared and that fog settled right after she quit, they said when the fog cleared, she was just about to the finish. She was so upset. She was so mad. She said, I've trained for this. I've prepared for this. And right on the brink of touching it, I missed the mark. Can I tell you, church, we can't afford to get so close that we miss the mark. I said, we can't afford to get close to what God has and we miss what He's doing.
Help us.
Lot's wife, so sad. She got out of the city. She got out of it before it was destroyed. Did not the angel tell Lot, make sure nobody turns around. Children, babies in here, adults in here, you can't afford to turn around. I'm telling you, when you turn around, it'll get discouraging. But if you can keep your eyes on the prize, that's what Paul said. Keep your eyes on the prize. I'm telling you what, we've got a land that's better. We're going to a land that's better. We're going somewhere. We're going somewhere. I don't know why the Lord pricked my heart weeks ago for this, but He knows somebody needs to know you've come too far to turn back now.
Yeah.
Too far. That same swimmer, I'm going to tell you what she did. She overcame her defeat. You know what? I'm not going to tell you that there's not going to be moments that you fall to the ground and you don't have to wipe the dust off and get up again. I'm going to tell you what that swimmer did. That swimmer said, I was so close. They said, well, what are you going to do? She said, I'm going to do it all over again. They said, that's insane. She said, oh, no. I come too close to quit now. She went back home. She started training. She started preparing. She said, I will not let the fog stop me. I will not let adversity stop me. So she trained twice as hard. She prepared twice as hard. And they said she set out, she picked a date, and she swam. And they said that day there was nothing that deterred her. There was no fatigue. Every time she got tired, she just kept reminding herself, I'm too close to stop now. I'm too close to give up now. I've made it this far. And she set a goal, and she finished. I want to tell somebody, make a goal. I'm not giving in. I'm not giving up. I'm going to finish.
Amen.
Help us, Lord.
All the blessings that have yet to be received. You say, is there enough? I want to tell you, God's got more. Brother Eastman's handed me a bottle of water every service. You know what? That's what God does. When you get thirsty, He says, hey, your son, here, daughter, get some water. Every time you get hungry, He said, they that hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled. How many can say with me, I've come too far to turn back now?
Oh, yeah.
You know what? There's some seats here today that had some groaners in them, but somewhere they got tired and they quit running. I'm telling you, this is so serious. I'm telling you, there were people that were so close and they missed the mark. Missed the mark. I thought about Judas. You think about it. He walked with Jesus. He talked with Jesus. He saw. You know what? Some people say, "Oh, we need more miracles." No, you don't. No, you don't. Because even if you saw the miracles, that don't mean you're going to keep running. Judas proves that. Judas saw some of the greatest miracles a person could see. Judas saw some of the greatest things a man could see. Right. He saw Jesus do things that were unthinkable in our imagination, but Jesus did it. But somewhere along the way, 35 pieces of silver sounded good enough to quit walking with Jesus. When Judas thought about it, I sold Jesus for this. I sold what I had in Jesus for this. The Bible says one day we are going to see the devil. You know that? One day we're going to see the devil. And we're going to say, "This is what stopped me from running. This is what scared me. This is what..." You know what? Sometimes we think the devil's so big, but our God is bigger than him.
Amen.
He comes as a deceiver. He comes as a deceiver tonight. He's not as big as you think he is. One man said it like this. He said, "We've already conquered Satan." He said, "How do I know?" Because Jesus went to the devil, and he went to his kingdom, and he took his ammo away. Think about that.
Yeah.
God's already went to the eternal pits of hell, and he's already taken back the authority. And the devil's walking around with an empty gun.
Yeah.
How many's ever had Nerf guns? How many's ever had kids that were younger than you and you could take advantage of that? You give them the empty gun, you walk around with the loaded gun, and you convince them that this is going to be fun as you unload that gun. How fun this is going to be. And when they're little, they're like, "Oh, shoot me." You know what? That's what we need to realize. Satan's walking around with a gun, and he's pointing a gun at us, and we're so afraid of that gun. But you know what? When he pulls the trigger, all it is empty air that just goes. But you know what? When Jesus gets a hold of us, he's got more than an empty gun. He hits his mark every time. I'm trying to encourage somebody here today. Finish what you started. Finish what you started. Honey, come to the piano. I really feel like I delivered what the Lord wanted somebody to hear tonight. I'm telling you, church, we are not at the halfway point. I don't feel that way. I don't know about y'all, but when I see what we're facing, when I see what's going on, how many ever watches what's going on in Israel? That's a good timetable. Pay attention. How many knows what are we reading every time we hear Iran's threatening? I'm going to destroy them. How many knows it ain't going to happen?
Right.
God's going to fight for his children.
Yeah.
God's going to protect his children. Now, are they guaranteed that nobody's going to have some loss? No, 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 no. There's going to be some loss. But I'm going to tell you, God's got a remnant. God's got a people. And what I'm assured of, he said, "I will lift up a standard against the enemy."
Jesus.
I'm going to tell you something. Don't let the enemy cower you in a corner. Don't let the enemy cower you in a corner. When I read my Bible and it said, "Pay attention, pay attention." When you see these things come to pass, I'm going to tell you what. Things are happening in our world. Things are happening all around us. The days are getting darker. I'm telling you what, the spiritual warfare, it's getting heavier. But I want to tell us, church, when it gets like that, look up for redemption. Draw it nigh. I said, look up. Help's on the way.
Yeah.
Help's on the way.
Amen.
There's a little song I can't sing it like the brothers and sisters can sing it, but they'll sing that song. Helps on the way. Boy, I wish I could get down and sing it like they do. But boy, it'll just hurt your ears, so I'll spare you. But I tell you what, they'll get this carrying on. Help is on the way. Woo! I tell you what, church, I'm glad I know that my big father is on the way. I'm glad I know I've got a friend that stands behind me. I've got one that's mightier. I've got one that when he comes, every demon will tremble. Every demon will be conquered.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Church, we have hope. We have hope. Your legs, one thing I've noticed, I don't know how to explain it, but Brother Eastman, I've always found that when I would keep running, as tired as I was, somewhere along the way, there's this thing. And it's like adrenaline kicks in, and it's like the second wind. I can't explain that, but there's been times I'd be running and somebody would get beside me, a friend or a person that was close to me, and they would get beside me and they would start running. They were getting ready to pass me, but they would look at me and they would say, come on, you can make it. Come on, you can make it. And all of a sudden, there was a determination that when I was saying, I can't do it, I can't do it, somebody got beside me and said, come on. Come on. You know what? That's what we're doing today, church. We're saying, come on. You can finish. You can win. You can make it.
Hallelujah. Yeah.
Can we gather around here today and just lift up our hands to heaven and just ask the Lord to give us strength tonight?
Jesus.
Come on.